Welcome to the underground.
Turn me up, bitch!
My Little Underground with Peter A.
It's My Little Underground. I'm Peter A. It's another reprise episode because I love a good reprise in music and in podcast form. Today, I welcome back Oceanator Elise Okuzami to talk about her recent headlining show at Knitting Factory. Amazing show. Empire Records, the influence that that movie's had on her latest album, Nothing's Ever Fine. The COVID safety protocol she took on her many tours, including the Pedro Lion tour that she just wrapped up, the upcoming Laura Grace Jane tour, and Pup later on this year. And she has a headlining tour in the UK coming up real soon. And Elise also gives me an update on releases of her record label Plastic Miracles and so much more. Please help me welcome back Elise Okuzami Oceanator to My Little Underground. You are fresh off of tour.
Yes.
How do you feel? You look tired.
I'm very tired.
Yeah. That's why I'm so grateful that you take the time to talk with me again, because you got so much going on, you know, all good things though. You know, three tours, and then you finished off the Jeff Rosenstock thing. So technically four tours. That's insane.
Yeah. Jeez. And there's another one getting announced Monday. So
Oh boy. Is it bigger? You don't have to tell me, but is the artist that you're touring with bigger than the aforementioned ones?
Oh, it's I'll just tell you, because this is not gonna be out before then.
Yeah.
Okay, it's just a UK, like a short little UK run. But it's just me.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah, so it's a headlining tour.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Oh, that's it. That's what you want. Those are the best.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. But
you played the UK. You played Europe before, right?
Not as Oceanator. No.
Oh. Yeah. All right. That's so cool. That's amazing.
I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, you're not nervous at all traveling internationally?
Well, it's not till August, so I'm not nervous yet.
You're not,
okay. You know,
yeah.
I got all the other stuff beforehand to worry about.
And you got more bad brain days ahead. You mm-hmm. know, before those, yeah.
Many more. Yep.
Yes, exactly. I'm still reeling from your Knitting Factory show.
Oh, yeah.
It was very exciting, because you know all the years that I've been going to shows at Knitting Factory, and they've all been great. Mm. But it was really cool to see a Black woman headline this place. I'm like, this is great. Like, it was just, ah, oh man, I felt so great. And a Jobber opening was just amazing.
They were so good.
Cool. Yes, yeah, exactly.
They filled it at the last minute too, because Stimmerman was supposed to play.
Yeah.
Which is Eva, who actually plays on a couple songs on my record and a couple songs on the last record.
Yeah.
Got COVID, unfortunately, on a tour.
Oh, no.
You know, as has been happening.
Yeah.
So I just hit up Jobber, like, 3 days before or something. They were like, yeah, we can do it.
Yeah.
They were great. Yeah.
I've known Kate for a while. She played in Potty Mouth and mm-hmm. of course Arm Candy. Did you know about Arm Candy?
I actually didn't know about Arm Candy.
No. Oh, Arm Candy's great. I was listening to it right before all those Jobber shows with you and Dummy. I re-listened to the Arm Candy album, and it's really good. And I told Kate, I'm like, the Arm Candy stuff still slaps. She's like, no. I'm like, I still like it. I don't know. Yeah. Jobber's next level, but it's really good.
Cool. To check it out.
Yeah. And your band is just incredible.
Oh, thank you.
Especially Lady Pills. Oh, wow. She was fantastic.
Yeah, she's great. Yeah. She really fills out everything real nice. And she was on the tour with us, and it was awesome. It was really great.
Yeah. Like her playing keys and like shredding on guitar. Oh man, it was spectacular. You know, everything just kind of, you wanted a bigger sound for this record, and it was big and it was massive, and it wasn't like chaotic. Everything had a purpose. It was really wonderful. And I think Knitting Factory has like a really good sound, you know, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously it sounded different for us up on stage, so I didn't get to hear how big we maybe sounded, but watching like Spirit Was and Jobber, I was like, okay, we're going to sound good. Like,
yeah,
they sound huge. So like, I think we'll sound huge too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that a bucket list venue for you, Knitting Factory, to close it out, to headline it?
No.
No?
Not, I mean, Music Hall of Williamsburg was like my bucket list venue, and we played that on the Pedro tour, and it was incredible, and I was very happy. Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed playing at Inning Factory, but it wasn't like at the top of my list or anything.
I got it. Is there any other venues in New York or otherwise that you would want to play? Not just play, actually headline.
Headline, yeah. I would love to headline someday both Black Cat in DC and come back to Music Hall of Williamsburg and headline. I think those would be huge. Those are the two I'm thinking of right now.
Yeah.
Because that's like my two home cities also.
So. Yeah, exactly. Where you are now, where you permanently based? You're a musician. You're not really permanently based anywhere. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I still live in New York. My home is in New York. I'm in Maryland at this moment. I came down post-tour for the weekend just to see family.
Yeah.
And then, because this is the only time. And then it's actually conveniently Mother's Day.
Exactly.
Yeah. But then, I still live in New York, in Brooklyn. So.
Yeah. I think the last time we talked 2 years ago, you were up in Maryland too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been trying to drive down here a bunch, like when I'm not touring and stuff. So it's a quick drive. So.
Yeah. Actually, I want to go to DC because I haven't been in so long, but I really want to see Trouble Funk. I want to see some go-go stuff happening in DC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the summer is probably the best time for that, right?
Yeah. I remember like a few years ago, like what was it, 2015, Foo Fighters did a massive DC party summer thing with Trouble Funk and all these go-go stuff.
Yeah.
And I have, you know, I wish I was there, you know? I wish I was amazing.
Yeah.
But I know the last time we talked, I like harped on it. You must listen to all these go-go bands. And I hope you did, because you'll just feel good. After listening to that, that's it. You just feel good. And the relationship is just, it's out of this world. Yeah. But with Nothing's Ever Fine, you know, I love the little teaser clip you put up right before you announced the album. It's from Empire Records. Mm-hmm. It's safe to say you're a fan of the movie. Are you?
Definitely a fan. Yeah.
Yes.
I was trying to, like, I got that title because I was sending a bunch of like title ideas to my friend. I was like texting. I was like, what do you think about this? And I just kept sending all these texts and immediately being like, I hate this name now that I've like typed it and said it out loud. And he wrote back like, oh, it's going to be fine. And I wrote, no, it's not going to be fine. Nothing's ever fine. Cause I say that anytime anybody says it's going to be fine because of that movie. And I was like, oh, there it is. That's what I'm going to name it. It's perfect. So yeah. And then I was like, well, I gotta post the thing, and some people maybe will get it and some people will be like, what is this?
Well, yeah, I got it right away because I've seen it many times, but it's a great movie. What are some of the other ideas you had for it?
Oh, honestly, I don't even remember them because that was a year and a half ago or something now, and they were bad. So
I
pushed them out of my memory. I'm sure they're written down on a notes app thing somewhere, but
yeah. I'm sure, like, if you do like an acoustic version of the album, you just call it "It's Gonna Be Fine," because it's more soft and welcoming, and let's all
hang out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You record it on the beach. You do it live, whatever beach you would go to. Yeah, I see it. Yeah. I see it happen. Let's manifest that. the one thing I don't understand with people who are fans of the Empire Records movie, why is Rex Manning Day celebrated? He was an asshole. He was horrible. I don't understand that.
I guess it's more like that's the day the movie happened, so we're just celebrating being in the world of the movie.
Yeah.
And not Rex Manning specifically. Although Polyvinyl got me a cameo from the actor who plays Rex Manning.
What?
And it was very sweet and nice. And I will not be sharing it because it's for me.
Of course not. Yeah. Why would you share that?
Yeah. But it was very nice. He was just like, I like the record title. Like, I wish you all the luck in the world. It was very nice.
It would be cool if he listened to it.
Yeah.
And then you see him at a show. It's like, hey, I did a cameo.
You know what? I did this cameo. And then I was like, this album rips. And then we'll see.
And then he asks you for a cameo. That would be cool.
Yeah, I got to get on there.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I noticed about this album is that there's a wide range of emotions. Mm. There's Bad Brain Days, which is, let's just, embrace everyone has a bad day. Then there's Beach Days. When I heard that song, I'm like, yes, Elise, yes. Exactly, because I am really excited for beach season. I love the beach. It's very tranquil and it's very relaxing. I remember your last album came around right when the beach season was going on, which was great because we all needed it at that time. But it seems like you are, because I feel like your last album was more everything, not everything is bad, but things are bad and they're going to get worse because it was a time period. Well, that was kind of true. But do you feel like this album, you are more, I know the album's called Nothing's Ever Fine, but do you feel like, I feel like it's a more positive album. Do you feel that way?
I go back and forth. I mean, people are definitely reacting to it in that way, which I was slightly surprised about because the last song, Evening, I kind of, when I wrote the end of it and wrote the lyrics, it was kind of like a, just kind of a, just, you know, you're just, it's like the end of this day that's been like started good and then went super really downhill. But the day is also like a year or a month or like a lifetime or whatever. That's kind of how I picture like the arc of the record. Oh, sorry. And so I wrote that song kind of just as like, you're at the end of this. And then when the everything kicks in, I kind of pictured it as being like, oh no, like a black hole's coming for you. But a lot of people are hearing it as like a catharsis. And that's cool too. So like, however it speaks to people is cool. I don't think of it necessarily as a positive or a negative record. I kind of think of it as just a like, this is what life is record, you know, where it's like there's good stuff, and a lot of times that good stuff does feel like it's earlier in the lifetime, you know, and then as you get older and more things get like thrown on you and like you have more bad and good experiences, but you know, like it just kind of weighs you down. That's kind of like I guess what Stuck is about. So I kind of thought of it as just kind of a in between, I guess, but not necessarily positive. But also like if people are getting positive stuff from it, then like, that's great. You know, that's fine. Like, however it's sitting with people is, I mean, everyone's listen is their own individual experience. So, you know, however they take it, like, great.
Yeah. Like from the van, it's kind of your life. You're in a van, you're touring so much. So that's it. It could be good for some people or bad or just indifferent. And it's just, I think a lot of people can relate to this, to all everything that's happening. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, yeah, your lyrics aren't about like one specific instance, probably not, but it's just somebody's gonna find something to connect and relate to on this album.
And things can be good and bad at the same time, you know, like from the van is about touring specifically. I think that's maybe one of the more specific songs, but it's about touring and like, and that's great and good, but also sometimes it's bad, you know, sometimes you get tired or you're like, you miss all your friends or you feel like very alone or whatever. So, but then also it's great. So,
another thing I noticed on Nothing's Ever Fine is your sonic palette is definitely expanding because you have like some punk records and like from the van kind of has like a stoner heavy, you know, almost doom quality to it. Like your baritone guitar is doing works for you. I think you're probably listening to a lot of Sleep and you thought, I need this. This is what I need. I need this in my life right now.
I do like how huge Sleep sounds.
Yeah, exactly.
Seen them a couple times. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Like I think two, literally a couple. Yeah.
Yeah. What is it like? I want to see them so bad, but I'm trying to get a feeling of what they really sound like live. What is it? How does it feel?
They just sound enormous and really, really loud. And it's just like, it's really fun. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you feel, is it one of those things where, because some bands you see, you probably don't need earplugs, but some bands probably do need earplugs. Sleep is probably
I need earplugs for all bands.
Yeah.
Because I have a nerve damage in my left ear. So I have to wear earplugs at all shows. There you go. So that's a definitely I need to wear earplugs. And I also have to stand much further back to make sure that But I would say yes, you would need earplugs. They're playing out of like several guitar and bass amps. Like they are really loud.
Hello. Hello. Yeah. I feel like My Bloody Valentine is gonna be the same way.
Yeah.
You know, I bet.
Yeah. Sometimes bands are just so loud. And sometimes they're too loud, but
yeah.
Anyway.
When I saw Felicia Douglas, I did not need earplugs.
Okay.
It was very it was just her on stage with her keys and everything.
Yeah.
And it was okay, I don't need earplugs. This is great. I don't feel a ringing in my ears after I leave. But I think when I saw Dummy and Jobber, I was like, yeah, I need earplugs. And it was at Baby's All Right. And you know, Baby's All Right is very like, you know, it's very cramped.
Yeah.
Where do you get earplugs? Because I need some real good ones.
So I have a custom. I finally just got a custom pair a few years ago.
Oh, there you go.
When I was touring a lot, playing drums, so that I could like still hear what was happening, but like have a lot of the high end. I actually used to have two pairs and I lost one. This pair is just the one that takes everything down evenly, so it still sounds really good. It's just quieter.
Okay.
And you know, it was like $100-something, but like I've had them for like 4 or 5 years. Now, so they paid for themselves in buying foam earplugs, you know,
of course, and
they sound better. So it's
nice. The ones you have like EQ modifications. I know some fancy ones do.
No, I technically could take out the little filters that are in there and put in a different filter if I wanted to, but they're so tiny that like I know I would just lose them if I did that. So no, I just have it's like the middle one where it takes everything down like. I think only like 17 decibels or something, but
yeah.
It's good. Yeah.
Slide guitar. You were looking for a slide guitar. Did you find one? Did you find
I found a lot of really good options. So I have my little list going.
Okay.
And it's for something that's not, I wanted to start my list now. Cause like that way when it comes time to record, I'm not like freaking out like, oh, I got to find somebody. But it's for something that I'm still only like half of it is written, so I'm still working on it, and now I've got all my names and I'm ready for when the time comes.
This is gonna sound cheesy, but like, because you're a musician already, but you really love making music, because I remember after your last album came out, you were like, album 2 is getting recorded right now, me and my brother, we are getting it popping. Like, oh my god, you just dropped an album, what's going on here? Like, I'm already, don't put me in anticipation mode already, I'm still banging your other album, you know?
Yeah. I like writing songs and I like making those songs come to life, so yeah, I've got an EP and 2 half albums right now that I'm working on, and that's one of those is what I need the slide guitar for.
There you go.
So I was just preparing.
Polyvinyl is not telling you, hey, we need another album. They're not doing that to you, right? I hope not.
No, I actually just randomly mentioned to Seth from Polyvinyl. I was like, we were talking about something else. I was like, oh yeah, I have these 2 half albums ready. And he was like, what? So no, they're not doing that. They're fine. They're great. They're really great. They're very helpful and they're great at guiding you and stuff, but they are very open to letting you do like whatever you want to do.
Yeah. There's one thing I've noticed about some Polyvinyl artists, some of them end up on TV or on a major label. Have you noticed that? I don't
know. Who's on a major label?
White Reaper. They signed to a major after pulling out a few albums on Polyvinyl. Yeah.
I didn't know that actually.
Yeah. And then, of course,
Jeff was on TV.
And I know a Pale Hound was. And even the Bachelor album was on Polyvinyl too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they were on TV too, and they had billboards.
It's interesting. Yeah,
the Polyvinyl.
I was on TV with them.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That was crazy.
Right. That's quite insane. That was for Stephen Colbert, right?
Yeah, it was. I don't actually know if that aired on TV. I think it might have just been on like the YouTube channel, but they like tweeted about it from the Colbert, not the Colbert, the Today. What is this? The Tonight Show?
No, it's The Late Show.
The Late Show. That's it. Late Show. Yeah. And so they tweeted about it from that account, which was cool. Yeah, that was funny. I didn't know. They were looking for a keyboard and guitarist for their live stream, like their album release live stream.
Yeah.
So I was doing that. And then like we got this email. It was like, okay. And then we're also filming all these things. And I was like, what? That's so cool. all.
Yeah, yeah.
So we did like cool. KEXP and stuff too, which was, it was really fun.
Yeah. You know, I saw, I think Ellen was at your show.
Yeah, I didn't see Ellen. I saw on, they said they were coming, and then I saw on Instagram like a story, and I was like, I didn't even see.
Yeah, yeah. But, I was like, is that Ellen? Because I don't, sometimes you don't know. And obviously we spent a year not seeing people. It's like, yeah, was that who I think it was?
Like when you walked up, I was like, remind me who you are. Like, yeah. I know that I know you, but like,
yeah, you know, yeah, exactly.
Haven't been seeing people. We're all wearing masks. Like, it's just not clicking as fast. Yeah.
And Phil was there too. Phil Ward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Phil, yeah. I saw Phil from stage, and I was like, oh yay, Phil is here. And then he left.
I thought. I thought it was him. I was like, maybe that's him. Maybe that's not him. I don't know. And then later, after I went home, like, that was him.
Yeah.
He was there. Yeah.
It was yeah. Really cool. It was great. A lot of people came out. It was really nice.
Yeah. So with your slide guitar, without, because I'm thinking, because blues players use slide guitars too, and you know, and I hear it on, you know, a lot of surf records too. Mm-hmm. It's safe to say it. Let's just say that your palette is continuing to expand, which is great. I'm really excited to see what you're gonna do with that.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. I'm learning slide guitar myself, but I just don't. So like I've been demoing all the stuff, but it's hard, and. It's pretty cool to be learning like a new thing on an instrument that I've played for like 25 years or whatever. And now I'm like learning this new way to play it. So like in an ideal world, I would play it when it comes time to record, but I don't know if I'll be like as good as I would like it to be by then. Like I bet I could do it, but like someone else might be able to do it better, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But so- I'm excited about it.
All of these tours that we were talking about with Pedro the Lion, Laura Grace, Jane, and Pup, all these massive tours. Like, how did all these tours come together? Was it all you? Do you have a team of people that help you put these tours together, or what? Is it completely DIY or not?
No, I have a team. I have a manager. I have a booking agent.
Hello.
And a label and a press person for during album cycles. They came together because those folks reached out and were like, we want you to play on this tour, which is very, very cool. Pup, a couple of the guys from Pup were at the Jeff Rosenstock Toronto show, because Zach from Pup was playing drums on the Canada dates for that tour. And I was talking to one of them, and they were like, oh yeah, we really like your record. And I just kind of like lost it a little bit, like freaked out. It's like, you have heard my record. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, got the email a little bit later, and I was like, yeah, definitely want to do it.
Yeah. Is it nice? Is it really cool to, for you to kind of not kind of have somebody else or a group of people like handle your shows booking? Do you have any input as to, okay, I want to play here, I want to play there, or is just somebody saying, can you play here, can you play over there? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, mostly so far since working with John at Ground Control, it's been like support tours, so people will, you know, with those you don't really have an input on like where you're playing. It's just, but like it's like with it's where they've already set it up, you know, and then you're like, yes, I want to play these shows with this band. But we're working like on other stuff, you know. He's not going to be like, you have to play this show here in this place. Like, we're working on doing some dates for the fall, and you know, it's pretty much, it's basically like we're a team working together. So it's like, I want to play in these places, and then he tries to figure out how that happens. And if he sends something that I don't want to do, like, I don't have to do it, you know. It's not like that. So yeah, I mean, I guess I would say yes, I have input when it comes to like my own stuff, but when it's like a support tour, like, it's just whether I want to do the tour or not. It's not like, yes, I'll do it, but I don't want to play in this place, and I don't want to play in this other place, or whatever, you know.
Yeah. What I know, I've seen you online talking about how you're kind of like proud that you've had like almost, you had no COVID positive tests on any of your tours recently, right?
Well, I was excited that this last tour nobody got COVID. Yes. And we made it. On the Jeff tour, I don't know what proud is the word I would use. Just relieved, I think. Like, you know. On the Jeff tour, a few of us got COVID on literally the last day. And I know it was the last day because I had a PCR from that morning that was negative. And then we played the last show. And then like 4 days later, I was like, oh, I have COVID, but like was home by then. So nothing got canceled. It was still terrible, but luckily I was already home and could isolate and stuff. But yeah, and on this last tour, we made it through with no one getting sick, which is just very grateful for that, you know, because it would be a disaster in more ways than one if anyone got sick. So
what steps are you taking to kind of to help prevent or have an anti-COVID show? It's impossible, but it's like it's possible to kind of like do everything you can to like prevent anything. So what do you do? What's your regimen?
Yeah, well, as a band, we we're always wearing our masks. We're not, if we're in our hotel or if we're in our van, we're not wearing our masks because like we're our own little bubble. But if we're going anywhere else, we're wearing a mask. We don't eat in restaurants. We don't go out to bars. You know, we're always getting takeout. It's like much different. We're not really seeing friends and stuff the way we used to on tour. You know, like we'll sit, have like a nice high or whatever and see them outside maybe, but you're not like having as big hangs as you usually would. And like we stayed at some people's houses, but it was mostly like people that didn't live in a big group house just to minimize the risk, you know. And we would test and they would test beforehand, because like if we're gonna ask them to test, it's only fair we also test, because like we've been out doing this thing, you know, and like maybe we'll get COVID on them. But yeah, basically it's just like, and we're asking the audience to mask up, and sometimes they do and sometimes they don't, but you know, ideally they will, and keep each other safe too, you know, because even the folks that are like at the back of the room who probably aren't going to like be able to breathe COVID onto the stage or whatever, there's still other people around them. So ideally everyone would be wearing a mask for now, but yeah, just, we're just doing less, I guess, in between shows than we used to. That makes
sense. So glad you said that as far as the audience is concerned, because I really get mad when I go to shows and I see people not wearing masks. Yeah. And they're going to see a touring act. I went to go see Gorilla Toss the other day, last week actually, and at TVI in Ridgewood. Mm-hmm. And it was an amazing show, one of the best shows I've been to recently. And I would say, I think it's safe that 90% of the people there were not wearing masks.
Yeah.
It angered me. And have you been to TVI already?
I actually haven't seen a show there, but I've been to TVI and I've looked into the room.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a show there yet.
Well, you see, it's very small. It's compact. Yeah. It's like one way out. And I'm like, it was a sold out show too. And everyone was like bunched together. I'm like, oh my God. And Gorilla Toss is our touring act. Yeah. And I was so mad. I put up a picture on Instagram. I'm like, this is a great show, but if you're going to see anybody, please mask up, please. Because I think about you guys, you're on all these tours and everything. You're risking a whole lot and you're not millionaires. So all you have to do is put a thing over your face for 40 minutes and watch them rock out. That's it. It doesn't hurt at all. You're not suffocating. I've been to plenty of shows with masks. It's fine. It's not a big deal.
And I mean, like Dave on this last tour and Page of the Lion would make like a little masks speech at every show, just being like, please wear your mask. We're touring. All these bands have had to cancel and stuff. And it was, most of the time when he would do that, like a ton of people with their masks on, you know, because I think, you know, so it's definitely, I a lot of people who are going to see shows, I think, aren't like steeped in this world of like, we're on tour, you know, and they don't know all the intricacies of it and stuff. But when someone directly asks them to put their mask on, and then they do it, that's great, you know? But it was always really weird to see like some people just not do it after he made this speech and just like stare at him, not putting their masks on. And it was like the hostile energy of that was like a lot, you know? And so like, I mean, I wasn't even playing, so I can't imagine what it felt like to have like asked people who came to see you, like, could you please wear this on your face. If you need a mask, we have them at the merch table also. And then them not do it. But most people after he said that did. And a lot of places people were already wearing their masks, which was quite nice. So
in 2022, for you, what is the significance to touring a lot?
I just love playing shows. So that's why I like touring. I think it's fun. Especially with the tours that we are doing this year so far, like it's all bands that I really like. So I'm excited to like get to see them play every night too. So that's the main reason that I'm doing it is because I enjoy doing it. You know, it's not really, it's a huge risk monetarily at this point, you know, because you put so much into it. And if something gets canceled, like it's going to be really bad. But I'm just trying to be hopeful that, you know, we'll get through all of them and that won't happen. And we'll get to like play shows and make music with people and stuff.
Which is why you must mask if you go to see Oceanator or any one of your favorite. Please. Yeah. Come on now. Come on, people. So Plastic Miracles.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've been super busy. So do you still have plans for Plastic Miracles? Any cool releases to come this year?
Well, we put out the Lady Pills record this year, yes. And the vinyl of that should be coming in this month or next. Where that's the hope. That's right now still on schedule for that, but we all know that vinyl is a disaster currently, so who knows? But hopefully those will be coming in. And then announcing one more record probably early next month. We're still working out the details on that. I actually have to start doing that right after this, send in some more emails, but and that's all that's on the calendar right now is just this next record, and maybe we'll do one more this year, but definitely have to slow down from 2020 when it was like, okay, I'm in my house, I have plenty of time to like put all this time into all these albums, because I definitely don't want to like say I'll put something out and then like half-ass it, you know. So just that's probably this next one that we're announcing might be the last one for the year, unless something like super special comes in. Or
maybe another Lord Ward. EP.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually Phil's working on some stuff. So I told him to keep me posted.
and me too. Yeah, please do.
Yeah. He's great. Do you follow him on Instagram? Do you see his 1 minute tunes in a day
thing? They're fantastic.
They're so
unbelievable.
Cool. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
He did a recent one. What was it about? Oh, he talked about the new Spiritualize album. He was like, it kind of sounds like Bad Oasis, but like, it's like, I died laughing.
I missed that one.
Yeah, it was really good. The 1 minute tune was awesome. Cause it just shows you like how great songs can be when they're simple.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah. And he's just got such a huge musical like knowledge in his head too, that he can just pull from so many places. It's really cool to just like see that every day, being like, oh, he created a new thing.
Yeah, exactly. Elise, I don't want to hold you too long. I know you're super, super busy, but I want to thank you for coming on, being a big champion of My Little Underground. Please plug away, tell people where to find Oceanator and Plastic Miracles and all that good stuff.
Yeah, Twitter is at Oceanator. Instagram is at Oceanator Band. And then Plastic Miracles is at Plastic Miracles on both. And you can get stuff on Bandcamp for both. Check out some of the other artists on the Plastic Miracles Bandcamp. There's a bunch of good records there. I am biased, but I think they're great. Otherwise, I wouldn't spend any time on them.
Yeah, exactly.
Putting them out and stuff. And then obviously Oceanator's got records and merch and stuff on the Bandcamp if you want to check that out. I think those are the internet places. Tour's coming up. Doing Laura Jane Grace, Anthony Green, Tim Casher tour, the Carousel tour, and then doing those dates with Pup. And by the time you hear this, UK dates should be announced.
Yep.
And come to a show. Wear your mask, but come and have a nice time with us.
Yep. Thank you so much, Elise.
Thank you, Peter.